Welcome to More Than Medicine, where Jesus is more than enough for the ills that plague our culture and our country. Hosted by author and physician Dr. Robert Jackson and his wife Carlotta and daughter Hannah Miller. So listen up, because the doctor is in.
Welcome to More Than Medicine. This is your host, Dr. Robert Jackson, bringing to you biblical insights and stories from the country doctor's rusty, dusty scrapbook. Well, I'm going to take up where I left off last week. We're talking about the hard truth about sudden infant death syndrome. And we're talking about the connection between childhood vaccinations and SIDS. As I told you last week, I did not arrive at this conclusion suddenly, but it actually took me several years of reading and intensive research before I came to these conclusions about pediatric immunizations and really adult immunizations as well. And I want to share with you my conclusions. As I told you last week, the hard truth is inconvenient. Truth is sometimes hard to accept. But as Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And it has certainly set me free. And I want to share with you the truth. And as I've told you before, my desires to always tell you the truth or go to the gulag. And I hope that you are willing to do the same, to tell the truth or go to the gulag. The truth is imperative, even if it's inconvenient, even if it's difficult, even if it's hard. We must always speak the truth and speak the truth in love. Now, when we left off last week, I was talking to you about not just SIDS, but we were talking about SIDS in identical twins. And I talked to you about a case in 1946 where Wernie and Garrow described the deaths of identical twins within 24 hours of their second shot with the pertussis vaccine. And I shared with you that cases of identical twins developing a condition immediately following an intervention is considered a gold standard in proving causality. If SIDS occurs spontaneously, it is virtually impossible it would happen in the same amount of time after vaccination in twin infants. The article that we're going to review reviews 13 cases of simultaneous twin deaths, 10 of which were officially certified as SIDS. The article discusses the near impossibility of these events being due to chance alone. I would also point out to you that due to the political ramifications of these types of reports, American physicians are highly reluctant to publish these incidents in the current era. Now, you might ask, why is that? And I will tell you, it's because they don't want to be accused of being vaccine deniers or anti-vaxxers or baby killers. Questioning the current norm will cause physicians to be accused of deviating from the current vaccine paradigm. And that gets you accused of being a vaccine denier or an anti-vaxxer. So here's the article, and here are some of the reports. In 2006, there was a case report from Turkey. Twin girls, 3.5 months old, were found dead by their mother in their crib, both in the supine position. Now, why is that important? Because of the campaign so instituted in the United States, where mothers were told to put their children on their back in order to prevent SIDS. So both of these children were found lying on their back. The infants were identical twins, delivered at a hospital by cesarean section. Both infants were healthy and did not have any serious medical history. 2 days before the incident, the twins had received the second dose of oral polio, DPT, and the first dose of hepatitis B vaccines. They had a fever on the first day of the vaccination and were given a teaspoonful of acetaminophen. And the next day, they were found deceased in the crib. There were other reports of twins dying immediately following vaccination, including a 1987 case report of twins who simultaneously succumbed to sudden unexpected death 3 hours after DPT vaccination. In 2007, a case report of healthy 15-week-old identical twins who both died suddenly 2 days after receiving oral polio, hepatitis B, and DPT vaccines, and were found by their mother both in the supine position, i.e., lying on their backs. A 2010 case report of 12-week-old identical twins who died lying on their backs 5 days after receiving 6 vaccines concurrently. A 2013 case report of 10-week-old twins who were found dead both in the supine position 10 days earlier they had received their first doses of DPT and oral polio vaccines. So, I want you to understand once again that if SIDS occurred spontaneously, then twins dying simultaneously would simply not occur. But if it were due to the vaccines and the twins dying simultaneously, then you understand and I understand that the vaccine is the causative agent. Now, let's move on. Another history lesson. 1982, at the 34th annual meeting of the American Academy of Neurology, a doctor whose last name was Torch presented a study suggesting a link between the DPT shot and certain cases of SIDS. After he observed 4 sudden deaths within 19 hours of DPT vaccination in Nevada, Torch studied the relationship between this shot and SIDS in over 200 randomly reported SIDS cases. In a preliminary report on the first 70 cases, Torch stated that 2/3 had been vaccinated prior to death. Of these, 6.5% died within 12 hours of vaccination, 13% within 24 hours, 26% within 3 days. He noticed that SIDS had a biphasic peak occurring at 2 and 4 months in the DPT group. His conclusion infuriated the neurologist and government health officials attending the meeting. His conclusion said, "These data show that DPT vaccination may be a generally unrecognized major cause of sudden infant and early childhood death, and that the risk of immunization may outweigh its potential benefits. A need for reevaluation and possible modification of current vaccination procedures as is indicated by this study." Now, why would these government officials and these neurologists be upset? Because his conclusion challenged the generally accepted medical paradigm. Later in 1986, the same doctor, Dr. Torch, summarized case reports of more than 200 pediatric deaths that occurred following DPT vaccination, as reported by more than 37 authors in 12 different countries. About half of the deaths occurred within 24 hours of a vaccination, 75% within 3 days, and 90% within 1 week post-vaccination. These are amazing statistics, and it validated his conclusions. Well, let's move to the country of Japan, and a researcher whose name was Obamsawin. He observed that in 1970 to 1974 in Japan, when DPT vaccinations were begun in the age range of 3 to 5 months of age, the Japanese National Compensation System paid out claims for 57 permanent severe damage vaccine cases and 37 deaths in that 4-year period of time. during the ensuing six-year period from 75 to 80, when DPT injections were delayed to 24 months of age, severe reactions from the vaccine were reduced to a total of 8, with only 3 deaths. This represented an 85 to 90% reduction in severe cases of damage and death per vaccine given. When the infant mortality rate per 1,000 births in Japan during the mid-1970s was later compared to the mid-1980s, that's 10 years later when the vaccine was moved from 3 months of age to 2 years of age, it declined from 12.4 down to 5 per 1,000 births. That was a massive decrease in damage or death. Now, what was the difference? The difference was the age at which the vaccines were given. Now, let me ask you a question. In the United States, do we see children from 2 to 6 months of age acquiring whooping cough or diphtheria? Do we see them getting measles, mumps, or rubella? Now, some will say it's because of the vaccine protocol. I submit to you that these illnesses disappeared before the 1960s, and it's not because of the vaccine protocol. So why do children 2 to 6 months of age have to receive the 36 vaccines that they're given during those 6 months of age? Why not postpone to 2 years of age as they do in Japan? We would see a dramatic decrease in neurologic damage or SIDS. I'm not confident that these vaccines have to be given at all in the United States because I'm convinced that these diseases have disappeared due to sanitation, hygiene, and improved nutrition. Now, let me point out another thing to you. When SIDS cases at morgues are examined, they cluster at precisely 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months of age. It doesn't occur in a smooth process throughout the 2 to 6 months period. They cluster precisely at 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months, which can only be explained as a consequence of vaccinations. This association is rarely, if ever, considered by coroners. Why? Because it would challenge the medical paradigm. And the CDC recommended pediatric vaccine schedule. It's often argued that SIDS is entirely due to vaccination by people that are not closed-minded and not blinded. Few people were aware that crib death even occurred before the National Immunization Program began in the 1960s, when multiple vaccines were suddenly given throughout the country. Now, these folks argue that SIDS subsequently increased as more and more vaccines were brought to the market, and I would agree with them. Now, here's a statement from James Howenstein, MD. He had this to say, "The incidence of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS, has grown from 0.55 per 1,000 live births in 1953 to 12.8 per 1,000 in 1992. This was in Olmsted County, Minnesota, where he practiced medicine. The peak incidence for SIDS is age 2 and 4 months, the exact time most vaccines are being given to children. 85% of cases of SIDS occur in the first 6 months of infancy. The increase in SIDS as a percentage of total infant deaths has risen from 2.5 per 1,000 in 1953 to 17.9 per 1,000 in 1992. This rise in SIDS deaths has occurred during a period when nearly every childhood disease was declining due to improved sanitation and medical progress, except for SIDS. These deaths from SIDS did increase during a period when the number of vaccines given a child was steadily rising to 36 per child." Exactly what I'm saying. Now, here's the opposing and far more common narrative. The opposing narrative is that SIDS is an inexplicable phenomenon. That means it cannot be explained, that suddenly emerged out of thin air and is due to infants suffocating from sleeping face down. Now, please explain to me why for centuries children never suffered from sleeping face down prior to 1960. Please explain that to me. So now, by asking mothers to have their babies sleep on their back, we can prevent SIDS. That is quite beyond me. It's beyond my understanding. Comparing the historical trends of SIDS to vaccination. Look at this. Pay attention to this. If you look at the countries around the world that have the lowest infant mortality rates, the top 34 countries. We picked 34 because the United States is number 34 on that list. Now, you would think that we would be in the top 4 or 5 because of our technology, our availability of medications, and our advanced society. But no, we're number 34. Now, why are we number 34? I'm going to explain it to you. The countries that have the least number of vaccines given per child have the least infant mortality. The countries that have the highest number of vaccines given per child have the highest infant mortality. For example, there are countries in the top 34 who only give 10 or 12 vaccines, and they have the lowest infant mortality. And then there are countries like the United States that give more than 20 vaccines. Our country gives 36 in the first 6 months. And our country has one of the highest infant mortalities of the high technology first world countries. How do you explain the high infant mortality in the United States? I'll tell you. It's because we assault our children with vaccines, a high number of vaccines. Now, let me give you one more study. Now, this is another historical thing. There's a doctor named Peter Aaby. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Aaby. He's a renowned vaccine scientist and a promoter of vaccinations. And he was commissioned by the World Health Organization to study the effects of vaccines commonly utilized in charitable programs by the international community on infant mortality. Now, a little bit of context here. These types of studies are rarely conducted, and that's why we still do not have the data to determine if the vaccines we give our children provide a net benefit or a net harm. Well, the results of Dr. Aaby's study were not what he expected. While a significant reduction in death was observed from MMR vaccine, the opposite was found for DTP. And Dr. Aaby's data suggested the program needed to be scrapped entirely. Now, here's his report. DTP was associated with a 5-fold higher mortality than being unvaccinated. DPT increased deaths 3.93 times in boys and 9.98 times in girls. No prospective study has shown beneficial survival effects of DPT. Unfortunately, DTP is the most widely used vaccine, and the proportion who receives DTP is used globally as an indicator of the performance of national vaccination programs. He goes on to say, it should be of concern that the effect of routine vaccinations on all-cause mortality was not tested in randomized trials. All currently available evidence suggests that DTP vaccine may kill more children from other causes than it saves from diphtheria, tetanus, or pertussis. Though a vaccine protects children against the target disease, it may simultaneously increase susceptibility to unrelated infections. Did you get his conclusion? though a vaccine protects children against the target disease, it may simultaneously increase susceptibility to unrelated infections. And as you might expect, Dr. Abi's results were deep-sixed. They were buried. Since his publication, instead of being reevaluated, the distribution of DPT has only increased, largely due to Bill Gates, through his foundation, shifting the focus of the World Health Organization towards vaccination rather than public health projects that save lives. Now, get this before I finish. Peter Getchy, MD, he's a renowned expert on research fraud and has been a critical reformer in evidence-based medicine, who has repeatedly stuck his neck out to speak truth to power. Getchy nonetheless fully supports most but not all vaccines. And after Abi's report, Getchy was requested to provide a systematic review of the DPT program. Getchy in turn concluded, evidence tells us that it is likely that the DTP vaccine increases total mortality in low-income countries. So, a double dagger to the heart of the DTP program in developing countries. Now, is anybody listening to these two gentlemen? Absolutely not. So, let's wrap it up here. The particularly sad thing about these exacerbating factors is that if the medical field would acknowledge them, immunizations could be easily modified to continue vaccinating but avoid many of the high-risk immunization strategies. This is never going to happen. It's never going to be done because it would require acknowledging vaccines are not 100% safe, which is fundamentally unacceptable to the medical field. And I've really talked to other doctors about the things that I've just shared with you, and universally they say to me that they're completely unaware that this evidence even exists. Now, I mentioned to you way back in the beginning about what happened in the state of Florida during the COVID lockdown and how when their children were unable to get vaccines, the children's overall mortality went down. So let me finish by telling you. In 2021, Florida's childhood vaccination rate decreased from 93% in 2020 to only 79% in 2021 during the lockdown. At the same time, all-cause infant mortality under 1 year of age in Florida decreased by 8.9% all through the state. As a 14% decrease in vaccination coverage was associated with almost a 9% decrease in infant mortality. This led to one of the leadership in Florida declare that roughly half of the infant deaths in Florida could potentially be attributed to what? To vaccinations. Well, there you have it. There's all the information that I could draw up about the hard truth about pediatric immunizations and SIDS. And it's out there. You just got to do your own research. Don't be afraid to find the truth. The truth will set you free. You're listening to More Than Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Jackson, and I pray that you would like it, follow it, or share it. Tell your friends about this podcast. And I pray that the Lord will bless you real good.
Thank you for listening to this edition of More Than Medicine. For more information about the Jackson Family Ministry, Dr. Jackson's books, or to schedule a speaking engagement, go to their Facebook page, Instagram, or their webpage at jacksonfamilyministry.com. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Production at bobsloan.com.